Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here at This Week for Dr. T. We get together every Monday morning with amazing guests and have conversations that are interesting and, I think, quite inspiring. If you've missed some of these great discussions, you can see what you've missed by becoming a podcast member, going to drtenpenny.com, hovering over the podcast tab, and you can see that there are two different membership levels that you can do that we feel that we have created something for everyone's time and budget. So before I introduce to you today's special guest from one of the Pussycat Dolls, Jessica Sutta, we're going to take a quick, short break. This is going to be a fun and very interesting conversation. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, welcome back, everyone. Jessica Sutta is a mother, a singer, a writer, a vaccine injury advocate, and a former member of the International Platinum Award-winning pop group, the Pussycat Dolls. After suffering a severe injury from the Moderna messenger RNA shot in August of 2021, she has dedicated herself to helping fellow victims by raising awareness for those who feel ignored and marginalized in society, particularly after they've been injured. As a creative director for React 19, a nonprofit organization that aids victims for vaccine injuries and their families in mourning, she remains steadfast in her advocacy work. Jessica, welcome so much to This Week for Dr. T. I've really been looking forward to this. We've had to reschedule this so many times. And so I'm really glad you're finally here. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for everything that you've done in this movement. This injury is so complex, and it rips like who I know myself to be, and I miss a lot of things because of the pain. And then I live in the middle of the country, there's not really much around us but cows and horses and stuff. So the internet just doesn't work out here. So I've had to go old school and go internet in the wall. So I feel like it's 1990 again.
Wow, that's great. Right? Well, before we get too deep into what's been going on with your injury, tell us a little bit about your career as one of the Pussycat Dolls.
I was a dancer since I was 3 years old, and it was my passion. I went to a performing arts school where I focused on dance, and I actually injured both my knees, so I couldn't dance anymore. So it actually pushed me into acting, which I'm not that great of an actress, but it also pushed me into singing. And everyone kind of saw me in a girl band in Miami, like, you should do that. You should do that. It was always what they said. So sure enough, my first job was a dance job with Smokey the Bear, a public service announcement to take out forest fires. And that's where I met Robin Anton. And she's like, I love you. I want you to cut your bangs and be a part of this group I've made. It's called the Pussycat Dolls. And I was like, okay, what is that? You know? And it was a cast of 50 girls at the time. And it was this big cabaret show that Hollywood really gravitated to. It had popularity where the line would just be around Larrabee and Sunset Boulevard to the Viper Room. That's where the home was. And it was a whirlwind. And little did I know that it was easy to get the job, but it was about a year of auditioning, really, because it went from 50 girls to 20 girls, to 10 girls, then to six girls, the six girls that everyone knows globally as the Pussycat Dolls. So it was quite a journey. I love my experience so much with the band. I wouldn't go back. I think it's something that needs to be held in that energy back then when I was 20 and stuff. But my life has transcended so differently, and I've changed. And as much as I love being a part of the Pussycat Dolls, there's no way I could go back again. No.
How long were you part of it?
We were together for, gosh, we were together for 7 years, but you know,
Wow.
yeah. Yeah, but it was always a part of me. But when I had my son, it really showed me what my purpose was on this earth, and it was to be a mother. And then my injury really, really just ripped everything I knew about society and the industry and all of that. Just like I was like, oh yeah, I don't want to be a part of any of that anymore. So yeah. So that's what.
So we're as a performer, and you were mostly in LA, correct, at the time. Were you coerced into getting the jab?
I wasn't coerced for a job. No, I wasn't. I actually was really entranced by mainstream media, and I really believe what they had to say. And COVID scared me. I saw the death toll, and I saw this pandemic. Everyone, you know, and I was scared to even go outside to breathe the air. Like, you know, in California, they want us to wear a mask everywhere we went, even on a hike. Like even on a hike. Yeah. So I was really scared. So the media is what they said. You know, you got to protect your son, your kids. And I just had my son. And I said, okay, I'm just gonna go and do this, and just what's the worst that can happen, right? I never in my wildest imagination would ever think that I would react the way I did, and 3.5 years later, you know, yeah, it was the worst mistake I ever had. Oh, my light fell asleep. Wake up. Okay, he's back.
What was your injury?
So it started. So the first shot, 3 days later, I woke up with a muscle spasm in my right rib that it just felt like I had broken my rib. It was like stabbing and like a knife in my right rib. Intense brain fog. I was postpartum, and the baby was just 3 months old. So I was in his room, and I woke up, and I was just, you know, I was wondering if it's just postpartum. I didn't know what it was, so couldn't get this muscle spasm out. So I ended up in the hospital 2 weeks later, and they ran all these tests. They said I had a lower heartbeat, so they put an AKG, and but everything else seemed fine. So they sent me home with antibiotics. Didn't correlate it to the first shot. So then I went. Because I wanted to get full immunity from COVID, right? I mean, that's how the technology works, right? So I went and got the second shot, and that's when the health system, the health just was ripped for me. So they thought I had a mass transverse myelitis.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was like a list goes on and on. And I was in the hospital, and I finally met a neurologist who diagnosed me with an adverse reaction about March of 2022. So, yeah. And I was like, what does that even mean? And he's like, well, just don't get sick, right? And I was like, how many patients do you have? And he said, oh, I have about 50 patients that had an adverse reaction. I'm mostly scared of them to have a stroke because that's been a common thing. I'm just like, so am I going to have a stroke? Like, what's going on? So it was just, yeah, it's. None of the doctors really knew how to treat it. So when I ended up in the hospital, I was treated like a criminal. I was treated horribly. They couldn't find where I was burning in my rib cage because as soon as I got the muscle spasm out is when the burning and neuropathy went through my rib cage and up and down my spine. And no imaging, nothing was showing that this was happening. It was basically invisible. So the doctors were treating me really poorly. And I remember looking at my husband and saying, you know what? We're at war because they're gaslighting me. And I feel like I'm near death. I truly do. Yeah. And I still have that burning. Like as I speak to you right now, it's coming back on the right rib. Any nerves, anything, you know, any shaking, it comes back. Stress. Yeah. It's been a nightmare. It's been a mind, body, soul type of injury. Yeah. Very complex. And I think that's the way it was designed.
How long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for 2 days. I was so happy to leave the hospital because they weren't feeding me or giving me any water because
Wow.
I thought I was there to just, you know, get pain meds. I'm an alcoholic, and I expressed that to them because they were trying to give me a talk about addiction. I'm like, I know all about addiction. I've done the 12 steps. I'm sober. I was like, I'm here because I feel like I'm gonna die. Make this stop, you know? And once I said that, they treated me. So they at the end they did what a spinal tap to test for MS and all of that. And they didn't, you know, they didn't sedate me, and they just put me down. He used three different needles because they had the wrong needle. And then of course I had a spinal leak, so I had intense headache after that. So anyway, I know that sounds like a crazy story, but I will never step foot in another hospital again unless I guess my arm is broken. Yeah. So
And
there's
you mentioned that they treated you like a criminal. What happened?
Yeah. I just felt, honestly, it just felt like we were at war. That I think I just have so much PTSD from the experience that when I look back on it, I couldn't use my heating pad. The heating pad was something that was helping. They took away my heating pad. They went through my bag. They just made me feel like a piece of crap, like it was my fault. And they had known then that I had an adverse reaction. It was in my charts. They had no clue how to treat it. Not educated at all. And I thought that was very terrifying. So that's why I feel like it was like kind of, I don't know, just we're at war. I know it sounds very dramatic, but when you live on it the way that I do on a molecular level, having an invisible injury like this that's complex, so that comes back when you think it's over. I don't know. I see it so differently, you know.
Have you seen the documentary Vaxxed 3? Have you
I haven't
seen?
seen, I've seen clips of it. Yes, I've heard it, but they're amazing people. Yeah, I need to watch it. It looks incredible. I mean, I'm so grateful that people are doing documentaries about this very taboo subject. It's so dangerous to do this, right? You can't speak out on this topic, but there's so many of us. It is not rare, and it just seems like there's more and more and more. And thank God for those documentaries, you know.
Yeah, I saw the premiere of the film when it was in Santa Monica, and actually they invited me to come to the show and do a Q&A afterwards. So I
Yeah.
was doing a Q&A afterwards, and it was 2 hours of a challenging film to watch because you saw vaccine injured people, you also saw people, family members of people who died from the shot. There was a bunch of family members whose there were a bunch of people whose family members died in the hospital because they weren't able to give them ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And
Okay.
the one sentence that Polly Tommy, who's the director, who she said that I think sort of said it all, but it wasn't really focused on that much in the film was she said, I do 40 to 50 of these interviews a week. And every story is the same. And it doesn't matter if I'm in the West Coast, if I'm in the middle of the country, if I'm on the East Coast, all the stories are the same about hospital experiences. This is something that really needs to be investigated. And she's absolutely right. And my feeling when I left that documentary was that anybody who had lost a family member during COVID, they needed to go back to the hospital and put like the yellow tape around the outside of it because it's a crime scene. People didn't die from COVID. They died from medical malpractice, that they were not given the right drugs. They were given the wrong drugs. They were stuffed on a ventilator and left to die. I mean, the stories are unbelievable. In your advocacy work, I'm sure you're hearing a lot of stories like that, right?
Always.
And at this point in time, are people still trying to find resolution to this?
An injury. Oh, yeah. I think it's like a ticking time bomb for a lot of people that have medical injuries from this, you know, and they're not getting the proper care. And a lot of things are like insurance is running out, so they're not able to get this certain medication. So that we're fighting so hard in our community to just to get the help. I think it's about breaking the stigma away from it and like really having doctors to be like, okay, let's roll up our sleeves and let's figure out what's working for this and let's provide it for our patients. But unfortunately, everything's just such a business, right? And people are just don't have the compassion for a vaccine injury unless it's actually affected you personally. If it hasn't, people can go on with their life and they'll be fine, right? It feels like. But for us, we're stuck with these complex injuries that a lot of people are just not making it. A lot of people are passing away, you
Yeah,
know?
for sure.
hate to, but it's like it's been so common lately. Like two people I've known passed away this week,
Oh,
father,
wow.
you know what I mean?
Sorry.
No, it's just we're at war. Very early on when I met React 19, I worked with the psychologist in the network, and we had a talk, and he's like, Jess, you just gotta realize you're at war. Unfortunately, a lot of things are gonna happen, but if you're at war, it will happen, and it's happening, I don't know if it makes it easier, but it definitely, like, I don't want to be surprised, and I feel like a lot of people are gonna be very surprised when they realize what is going on, and I can't scream loud enough.
Tell people about React 19. I've got a book that's coming up that the working title of it is going to, after the first of the year, is The Master Playbook for All Plandemics. And there's a section in there about the covered countermeasure injury program, and I talk a lot about React 19. So share people about how React 19 came together and what your role is there.
Sure. React 19 saved my life. React 19 is made by two injured people, one being Brianne Dresden, who was on the AstraZeneca trials. She had an adverse reaction and they just left her. She's in a lawsuit now with the NIH and all of that, because contractually they're supposed to take care of her. And then we have another guy named Joel Walskog, who was an orthopedic surgeon who had an adverse reaction, who completely lost his career because now he has a tremor and can no longer do surgery. So they came together and made this nonprofit for the injured and bereaved that help injured with the community, bring us all together, also bring us a network of doctors, every type of doctor that's specialized in vaccine injury, and don't look at you like you're a crazy person when you walk into the office or try to gaslight you. And that's been the most beneficial, I think, for me, finding that doctor that believes in me and loves me and understands how complex this is. And they're also doing amazing things with a clinic for the vaccine injured in Texas. I mean, there's so many things. So I came on as creative director because I'm an entertainer, but I can't entertain right now. I wish I could dance. I just can't dance anymore. It's been that bad. But creatively, I'm able to do events and things to bring together people, raise money for the vaccine injured, and just kind of connect the dots with like my influencer friends who are brave enough to actually speak out on this topic. And there are some, and they're amazing. I bring everyone together to just raise awareness. For me, I don't do a lot of things in front of the camera as much. When I had my son, I was like, okay, I'm cool. I'm gonna go and direct. I'm gonna be, behind the scenes. I'm good. I don't want to go back to Pussycat Dolls. So I do a lot of things behind the scenes.
So how do we do you still have friends and connections in Hollywood and in LA?
Kind of. It's a very complex question. I'm friendly with a lot. Are we friends? No. I definitely saw a different side to everything. I don't know. A lot of people are secretly like very supportive of me, like a lot of my celebrity friends are just like secretly supportive, and I understand they're not going to come out and be like, oh, fighting for this taboo cause that censors you and all of that.
Why won't they? What are they afraid of?
You'll lose your career, you'll lose a lot of people make money off of Instagram, the influencers that get a lot of likes and brand partnerships and stuff, they could lose brand partnership, and people got to feed their families, and I respect that, and that's fine. And it is not if you're not dealing with it, it's not a battle you want to be a part of, because it is a painful one, and you really see the truth of people and how people lack compassion and stuff. It's really hard to witness sometimes. Especially when you're doing lobbying for this cause, like in DC, I just feel like everyone was just absolutely like glazed over, did not want any part of this, and wanted us out of their office as soon as possible,
Do you still feel it's that way? Really? After 4 years, people are still, and all of the data and all the studies and all the body counts of both the injured and the dead, people are like, well, that didn't happen and I'm putting it behind it and moving on. Do you feel like that's like the tone?
That's what they're hoping for. I think
Really?
it's going to come to a point where they're not going to be able to do that anymore. Like, and what Bobby Kennedy always talks about is the reckoning, right? There will be a reckoning for the COVID era. There will be. It's already happening. Netherlands with Bill Gates, all of it. It has to. There's too many of us. But I think people are terrified if they took it because they don't know what's going to happen to them and they don't want to acknowledge that. You know what I mean? And they also want to be numb to the fact that this is actually hurting people and killing people because it's going to be too overwhelming when they realize what happened. It's going to be a grieving for, I think, for a society as a whole when the truth truly comes out because it's going to. You're right. There's too much data. But.
And I do believe that that's true because of there were a lot of people that coerced their family members. You can't see your grandkids unless you get the COVID jab. And then they died or they got injured and they were, now they've, and it's hard for people to m connect the dots because then you have to admit you made a mistake. And we're not a society that does that very well. We can't just say, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice isn't going to happen. I'm so sorry. I drunk the Kool-Aid at the time, and I took it all in, and I'm so sorry that I pushed so hard for this. Please forgive me. We're not a type of society that readily admits that we were wrong and we own it. Do you see that happening at all? Do you think see people are waking up and going, or are they looking like, wow, I took that shot. Now I've got a ticking time bomb in me because some of the data coming out now is even 3 years after your last jab, people are dropping over dead.
I'm watching it, so it's happening. I mean, what would the world be if people could just sit in humility and really, like, in the world of like with Trump, like if he could be like, hey, I was wrong about Operation Warp Speed, and they tricked me, and you know what I mean? Like the humility that and the grace that would come from that, it would be a beautiful thing. And I think it's gonna happen. I mean, it happened to me definitely. I mean, I sit in humility. I asked my mom to get the shot, and she got injured. You know, and she forgives me, and I told her, and we both did it to each other. She wanted me to get the shot, and you know what I mean? And then when we realized what it was, we came to and we know. But it's hard. It's really hard to see her, not doing so well. So it's like they tricked us all. But what a world it would be if we could just sit in humility and like really love each other again and reset the system in terms of just like, all right, we made a mistake. Now let's help the people. Let's stop ostracizing these people. Because I just did a podcast with a friend of mine, Ed Clay, and they took our interview off for YouTube for misinformation. And I'm like, again, still 3 years? Yeah. We're spreading missing information, not misinformation.
Yes. Oh, very good. I like that. I like that a lot. I think I'm gonna co-opt that. That's
You
good.
too. I found it on what is it called? A meme the other day. So it wasn't me. I just saw it. But that was brilliant, whoever made that up.
Yeah, because it's really, really true.
What is
And I agree with what you with what, I think it's been one of the larger enigmas about Trump. Why he wouldn't own this. And
Yeah.
he had the perfect, he has the perfect out. He could say, look, I'm just a business guy. I trusted these doctors that they were telling me the truth and they weren't. And what was I supposed, I was a business guy trying to run the country and I trusted Fauci and Birx and I trusted these people that they brought in and man, I'm gonna make it right. How far would that go to healing this sort of thing,
It'd be massive because he can change it on the legislative like level. You know what I mean? Like he could pass bill, he can help pass bills and things to, repeal the 1986 Liability Act. Like if it's so safe and effective, why do you need a Liability Act? Why can't, So I think it's just really just taking that away, doing it quickly because I think, we raise money at by the people for the vaccine injured, but the truth is, it's the big pharma company who made the money that can absolutely help these people, right? Quickly, and it should happen quickly. It shouldn't take years. It shouldn't take a 10-year lawsuit. No. It's a ticking time bomb. We got tricked. Time to fix this. They have the money. Just do it.
Yeah, and the really, in my opinion, and this is what my book is about that's coming out after the first of the year, is not about repealing the 1986 Act, but repealing the PREP Act of 2005. You know, because the PREP Act is the one that has thrown all of the COVID injured people underneath the bus. Because the COVID vaccine is considered a covered countermeasure, they set up the covered countermeasure injury compensation program that they didn't fund. They didn't define what the injury was. That less than 35 people have received compensation from that. Less than 1,300 people even knew about it to file a compensation there or file it because everybody was filing with the VAERS program. And the VAERS program is not the right place to file. To me, I've used the analogy of saying it would be like going to the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, to buy a plane ticket. You know, it's you've gone to the wrong agency to get something done. And by filing, there have been over 1.1 million people that have filed an injury compensation claim with the VAERS database. And that's the wrong place to file it. It needs to be filed with the covered countermeasure injury program that nobody really seems to know about. And it's not funded, it's underappropriated. All of the people that have been injured were thrown underneath the bus by the 2005 PREP Act. And that is what really needs to be changed in legislatively. And I would really love to get some activism behind that. So maybe we can talk about that more with what COVID-19 or with what Act 19 is doing.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about it. That's incredible. Let's do it. Let's team
Yeah.
up. It's going to take all of us, you
All
know?
of us, really, for sure.
Yeah. When I worked with Jimmy Levy, he like invited me to be on a song with all these influencers a couple of years ago when I came out with my vaccine injury when I felt so alone. And it was such a beautiful thing he did. I felt so nice. It felt so great to be a part of everything. And it was like left and right. It was all of us together. And he was on set. And before we like went, he's like, you know what? It's going to take the left and the right to unite to really, really save this country. Like it's, we have to put our differences, we have to like all join together and do this. And he's so right, you know, like, and I'm so grateful for that experience. And I tell him now, 'cause I'm like, but you know, he was always with Trump and I'm Kennedy, obviously. And I was like, we just have to bring them both together. We all have to do it together. Right? Like, he's like, yeah, you're right. I was like, it was your idea at the beginning. So here we are, you know. So I'm just so grateful for the people that I've met, like you and Jimmy and stuff, where we can really actually make a difference in this world together, you know.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a really quick break, everybody. Today we're talking with Jessica Sutta, who's a mother, a singer, a writer, a vaccine injury advocate, and a former member of the International Platinum Award-winning pop group, the Pussycat Dolls. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come. We'll be right back. We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries, and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Well, welcome back, everyone. You know, Jessica, your vaccine injury was in 2021, correct? What has your vaccine injury journey and your vaccine advocacy journey been like since that time?
The journey has been a painful one. Now I was just diagnosed like I guess a year ago with vaccine-induced lupus. So I've been dealing with an autoimmune situation that's been very painful. And I really haven't found anything that's really helped it like perfectly. You know, I just kind of have to ride the flares and the but today I feel good. I actually made the mistake of trying to go to a sports medicine doctor, and they wanted to numb this nerve because I still have a burning in my right rib. And he injected my back with steroids and lidocaine, and it backfired and brought the neuropathy even worse and the flare. So anyone with an autoimmune condition, do not put a needle in your spine if you're vaccine injured. I was out for about 5 days. I just came out of it, so. That's been my journey. So I'm just like grateful for the days I don't have pain, grateful to God that I'm alive, And I pray all the time. I give my will and everything to God. So that's my vaccine injury journey to this point. The advocacy has been really incredible. We've been able to really outreach so many vaccine injured people that have been suffering in silence. Now we kind of have like a support group. We're able to tap in and really like support each other and help with doctors and all of that. And we've been able to raise money, which has been incredible. We just had an event in Washington that I was actually supposed to sing at for the first time. I haven't sang in 3.5 years. I actually had to miss it because I got the injection in my spine with the steroids. So I had to, I was, oh, that was so painful. My heart broke because I found this voice coach who's from New York who works with vaccine injured singers. He had two clients in 2020 after the, or 2021 after the rollout. These two major Broadway singers that they lost their voice. They had tinnitus. I'm going to say it wrong. Tinnitus, all this neurological dysfunction, pain, all this stuff. One of his clients actually wanted to, take her life. She was with her parents on a conference with him. Like, I'm going to die tomorrow. I just want to let you know, thank you. And I can't take this pain. So he was able to talk her out of it and worked with her as a vocal coach to help her get back. I don't know if she's singing yet, but anyway, so he knows specifically how to deal with pain in the body. So we got to a place where I wasn't hurting at all when I sang. So I was so excited about this show. So I was so disappointed when I couldn't make it. But we raised a lot of money that night. It was a beautiful night. And I'm sad to miss it. But we're gonna have more events coming up in Tennessee very soon. And hopefully I'll be singing again. We'll see. I look forward to it.
So, are you finding more physicians that are willing to say, yes, this was an injury caused by the COVID jab and to try to do something about it?
More and more now, I guess. I think I'm just like, after my experience with the sports medicine doctor, I kind of lost my trust again because I feel like people are not really educating themselves well enough for this, because they had, it was a case of like when they injected me and it was the worst pain in my life. One of the nurses was like, well, I got the vaccine and I was fine. I don't know how this is happening to her. And then the other doctor's like, well, my cousin had it and she was paralyzed. And I'm just like sitting there in this agony. And I'm just like, how do you guys not research? If you're in medicine and in the well-being of people and doing no harm to people, why are you not investigating this yourself as like in the medicine world? Like, I don't understand. Like, yeah, because it didn't affect you. I don't need to focus on it. Or no, you're in the med, you're a nurse. Like you are going to be treating people. There's more of us out there, but I think there's more people are definitely coming out about it. Like my neurologist at UCLA finally came to it, but for 2 years she thought I was crazy. Even if I was diagnosed with adverse reaction from the neurologist, she still couldn't believe it. So, it's a conundrum.
You know, it is because what you had said previously, if it's not affecting you personally, you know, you just don't get it. And it's not only been that way. You know, I've been talking about problems associated with vaccines for 24 years. You
Wow.
know, I've been doing this a really, really long time. And when COVID came along in 2020, it was just a kind of a lateral movement to me on top of all the 20 years I'd already been trying to get people to stop vaccinating their children and stop poisoning their kids. And I've been doing that for 20 years. And so parents, you know, are like, well, it's what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just follow the schedule. Everybody does it until their child is vaccine injured. And then it's upsets their apple cart and it changes the whole world. So it doesn't surprise me that, like what you said, that people don't take these injuries seriously until it affects them personally. And so, you know, they're getting ready for another round of something. You know, that's why they call it Disease X. Do you think people are going to fall for this the next time around, like they did that time?
It's so funny because I was thinking about that this morning. Because monkeypox, what happened to monkeypox? It's like they've
What
been
happened
threatened.
to bird flu, right?
What happened to bird flu? I think they've been trying. I don't know what the COVID one was that hooked everyone, but I think once they saw it hooked people, I think they really ran with it. I think they haven't been able to hook people because people are like, oh, no. I lost so much around that time. Like that was ridiculous. Like, and a lot of people know that we were tricked. I mean, I think the mass majority of Americans do believe that. I really do. I hope.
I hope so. I've used the expression, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, ain't gonna happen.
Ain't
And
gonna happen.
I do call it kind of the gift of COVID. One of the gifts of COVID is that people really kind of got, gobsmacked, smacked on the side of the head. Like, wow. And what else are they lying to us about? And we get the government we deserve, and our hands have been off the steering wheel for a long time, assuming that the government was doing what was in the best interest of everyone when they're not. And now suddenly people are waking up to government things, to environmental things, to vaccine things. They're looking at the vaccine schedules for children, more so than I've ever seen it before. I think that it's a very difficult thing that people are coming to grips with. My business partner in one of my businesses, he stopped counting at 178 funerals
Oh
that
my
he had
God.
gone to. He's, and there have been more than that, but he stopped counting at 178 in, either people he knew directly, or friends of people that he knew, or spouses of people that he knew, or children of people that he knew. He said, I can't keep track of it anymore. It's just too much to bear. So are people getting aware of the React 19 and all the work that you guys are doing? And how can we promote your organization and get more people involved?
Oh, thank you. Well, you can go to react19.org and join our community. And if you feel in your heart to donate, then all the proceeds go to the vaccine injured. These injuries are really expensive and they're complex, like I said. And insurance companies are like, oh no, we're good, we're good. We didn't expect this. Like, they're not allowing medications to be passed that they were not covering. So it's getting even dirtier and uglier now. So we need the help more than we can get now. Also our social media, we get censored a lot. I mean, we're in a lawsuit right now about censorship. So it's like, okay. But if you go and follow us on Instagram, react19 org, and just keep in touch with us. It would be great. We love it. We're gonna have more events coming up very soon. Now that I'm feeling a lot better, hopefully it won't be as painful to like really like get this event up and running in Nashville, then that's where the next one is. So I'm excited.
I have to put in a little plug here for do you have a platform on CloudHub?
No.
You really should take everything that you're doing on Instagram, keep doing it on Instagram or Facebook, but start a channel over on CloudHub, because they will never censor you and they will never shut you down.
Really?
And there and that reach is getting better and better and better all the time. It can be translated into like 30 different languages just with a touch of a button, so that you can have more of an international reach. But yeah, we can help you, just make the connections and get set up over there. Then everything you're doing on Instagram, anytime you do an interview, any of those things, just set it up there on CloudHub. So it will never, ever be taken down. Todd Callender is the CEO, is a good friend of mine. And it will never be censored, never be shut down. And you can get all the information out, and they will actually even help you to promote the COVID-19 or the React 19 site, so that you can get more people to join.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna, is it an app or is it like on a server?
It's on a server. It's on a server.
Oh, right on.
So,
Okay.
and the servers are all protected, and they're in Iceland and all these different things. And so it's Michelle, who you've been in contact with, she can help you get that all set up. And it takes like maybe a couple hours to just get it set up and get all your control mechanisms. Then you can upload everything you've already done over there, and then just going forward, you can do things. And for those that are listening, go to cloudhub.org and cloud or cloudhub.com. Either one will get you there. We promote our channels there every day. All of the podcasts that I do, and we live stream over there, and all of our different podcasts. It's a great platform and it's growing. We've been over there probably 3 years now, and it continues to grow and expand and get more and more reach and all that sort of stuff. But the best part is you can talk about vaccine injuries. You can talk about, what happened with the, Moderna shot, what happened with all the messenger RNA vaccines that are coming online now. I mean, Moderna has an entire list of mRNA vaccines that are coming forth through the RSV vaccine that is completely unnecessary, and they're going to be giving it to newborn babies. And then there's a messenger RNA one for flu shots, for COVID, another one for COVID, one for para influenza viruses, for RSV. They have an entire staple of mRNA vaccines that are coming online that people need to know about and to be aware of. So, and
My body hurts when you t say mRNA. My rib cage burns. I'm like, oh, It's
yeah,
toxic.
seriously.
It's so toxic. And if this happened to a baby, I'm just happy this didn't happen to anyone that I love, like my family, like my son or my husband. I'm glad it was me because I can't imagine a little child going through the muscular pain that I go through, or the flares, or and they can't articulate what it is, right? And no one can help. It's such a crime. So I truly hope that they take this off the market. At least I think we need to test all of them. We don't have any of the proof that they're even good at all, right? I mean, it's just like it's unbelievable. Why is this even a question? So I think it's gonna change, though. I truly do. Because it's people like you who have been like really like on the front lines of this, that had like the strength and the bravery to really. It's a very dangerous topic because I'm sure you were met with a lot of like, hate and crazy names and like, I've been like pinpointed like a horrible, horrible names. I'm just like, oh my God, why would you say something like that? We're just trying to stop this from happening to anyone else,
So what would be your message to vaccine injured persons, either from Pfizer, Moderna, or from MMR or chickenpox or any other thing? What would be your message to them?
What I realized is injury is injury, and I didn't know to the extent that other technologies would do this to people too. And I've met people that have had their back broken from a fluoroquinolone and Cipro, and I've had people that had reactions to other medications that they had sickness for. Their life wasn't the same for 6 years. I have a friend who is finally out of it, but it took her 6 years, and she's like, "Just hold on tight," And I'm like, "Oh." I think we're in such a it's such a complex situation. I keep on saying that, but I just feel like it is. And a lot of people have been taking their life over this. And the one thing I want to say is you need to stay strong and don't do that. Do not take that option. And that's the most evil part about this whole experience, especially in Canada, where it's like, okay, we're not going to treat you. Why don't you just do suicide? We'll just assist suicide. Like, that's actually an option. And that is just like, I can't even. So for me, I say we're at war, and the bad people, if we were to give that up, they would win. Energetically, spiritually, they would win. In their pockets, I think it's also a lot of money. I don't know. It's about staying strong, holding tight. I know that sometimes you feel like you're against a wall. I know last week I was like, this is it. I'm just gonna drop. Like, I don't know when the end is, but I had to push through that because we're stronger together and we need to get through it together. So taking your life is not an option. Please reach out. I think there needs to be more support groups in all the cities and online too. But I think we all need the help, and I think just know that you're not alone, that this is very real, but just to not give up. And that's what I tell myself all the time. And if you believe in a higher power or, Jesus or Christ consciousness, I think it's very important to tap into spirituality and know that you're protected by God. And for me, in my meditations, I hand it to God constantly. I just like, it's like a ball of energy. And I'm like, take it, God, just take it. So I have faith that like we can heal ourselves with God and time and the right doctors, and we're fighting for that. So
That's really, really a great message. And I so agree with you. When I all the way through 2022 and somewhat in 23, You know, I had the opportunity to be on really large platforms, you know, with the Make America Great Again and a lot of, you know, Brian Rose and a lot of really big platform that had millions and millions of followers. And since you mentioned that, you know, I would say to people, you know, confess your sin to the Lord, that you bowed your knee to a pharmaceutical product, and that, you know, your body is your temple, and that you defiled the temple. I mean, we sin every day, you know, everything, every day by our thoughts and by our actions and by the things we do or we don't do, you know, sins of omission by things that we shouldn't do, like pray more, read our Bible more, you know, spend time in our church. So, and the Lord's always there ready to forgive you. So say, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry that, you know, in the Bible, it says more than 300 times, fear not. And I was fearful and I let that into my body. And please forgive me and take that away. Take away and then take away these injuries because I've confessed that I did the wrong thing. I made the wrong choices. And I know sometimes I have to have consequences for those choices, but I want spiritually to be clean and to come clean that I made a wrong choice. And we all make wrong choices. I mean, you admitted, you know, about alcoholism, you know,
Oh,
people have made wrong choices about affairs and, you know,
yeah.
all kinds of things. And, you know, it's human nature. We steal, we cheat, we do these things. And the Lord is always there ready to forgive us. And I think that it's important from a vaccine injury perspective to say, you know, it's not enough to say I didn't know. Because now that you do know, it's like, wow, I chose the pharmaceutical industry over God. And if you just ask for forgiveness for that, he'll forgive you. And then
Sure.
that makes living with it and trying to find healing easier, better, because you know your life's right with God.
100%. I have it right with God. That's been like the silver lining of this all, is giving me the greatest awakening, but it's brought me completely close to God. And I
That's
don't
wonderful.
anything without God and
That's
Jesus
wonderful.
and Christ consciousness. And but yeah, I definitely feel like we need to love one another. I don't want any more wars. I want there to be peace. I want there to be healing. We don't even need to publicize vaccine injury. If I ever get a chance to talk to Donald Trump, which I pray I will, I'm going to tell him that. Like, let's not even put it on the news. Let's just help him. How about that? We don't even need to publicize it. Let's just help the people. That's it. It's very simple. He helps people constantly. He does things without getting recognition. Well, let's just do this. We don't need to publicize it. Everyone made a mistake. Fine. Let's fix it. You know, by actually taking action and not talking about it, and not, you know, it's about taking action now. It's not a thought. It's been too many years, 4 years. It's a long time. But
Yeah,
we're
for
going to do
sure.
it. We're going to persevere. I think we have God on our side. We really do. I believe that because everyone that I've met in this movement has God in their heart. It's like, it's unwavering. It's there. It's concrete. It's a part of their skin. It's just God. We are God. You know, we're a part of something, a consciousness, a higher power.
You
And
know, you've got a Maha hat on.
I
So,
do.
where is your engagement with that movement, and where do you intend to move forward, like React 19 and vaccine injuries and things like that inside of that movement?
For sure. Well, so I was a surrogate for Bobby Kennedy's campaign, so I was able to have a platform there, which I'm so grateful for, to speak out on vaccine injury publicly and on the stage. And it was great. And I really appreciate that. And I was through that advocacy, I was able to actually meet a lot of vaccine injured,
Wow.
which was really surprising. And a common theme was like a mother and daughter. A mother and daughter always had a vaccine injury. It was very strange to see that was so common, right? So yeah, I've been able to go on, you know, speak out on it there. And now that he suspended his campaign, the Maha Alliance is together, so I help them as well. I guess I'm a part of them, but I'm just so proud. The ads that they've come out with lately have been absolutely brilliant. I mean, they're just masterminds, beautiful people. You know, they've been in this fight, this, you know, same out with Del Bigtree, and who's an amazing person. And yeah, so this is it. I mean, we got to make America healthy again. And for me, my facet is obviously vaccine injury and the vaccine safety and We're going to work together, Dr. T, with that compensation. That sounds great. I want to do that with you. Whatever we can do, we're going to make America healthy again, though.
Very good, because I put out a I've been doing these little things every day just to do it. They're little 2-minute videos every day that we just pop up on Instagram. And the one I did yesterday really was about that, saying I want to make a quick comment about Joe Rogan and Donald Trump's interview and
Yeah.
how we talk about all these food additives and pesticides and herbicides and glyphosate and all these things. That's true. We need to stop it and get the nonsense out of our food that they have poisoned us with. But
Right.
until we stop poisoning children at birth with vaccines, I mean, they have been poisoned by multiple doses of 10 vaccines by the time they're 2 years of age, long before they're eating table food. Unless we start at pregnancy and stop vaccinating pregnant women and stop vaccinating children at birth, we're never going to get the full Make America Health Again that we need.
Thank you. And I'm with you on that because everyone's so boastfully proud, like says, oh, cancel Kellogg's, cancel. I'm like, okay, that's great. Do you know what's in vaccines?
Yeah, there you go.
Are you serious? So it's getting there. It's this is going to be the biggest mountain to climb, but we're almost there. We're going to do it. I know we are. Too many of us. So there's too many warriors too. That's the issue for the
I love
others.
your inspiration. We need people that have a platform and have an audience that sadly, God has, kind of thunked you on the head and given you this vaccine injury. But because of the vaccine injury, you're going to help millions of people to wake them up and make them be aware. And so, it's sort of like what Paul said, it's, one of the crosses to bear. To go out and really help more and more people, when he said, please take this thorn out of my side, and God said, my grace is sufficient. And so, with gr sufficient grace, and be in having a voice, and sadly having to experience some of the things that you've had to experience with the injury, it's because of that that you're going to help millions and millions of people more. So, Jessica, thank you so much for the advocacy and for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Yeah, when I was first sick, I was getting treatment and I wasn't public yet, but I was in a room full of celebrities, bigger platforms than me, and are you going to say anything? No, I'm too scared. Are you? And it was like this whole thing. I'm just like watching them. And I realized that Hollywood influences people to be like them and do it like them. I'm sitting in a room full, and no offense to them, I get it. But Hollywood tends to keep these very deadly secrets from the public. And for me, with the pain I was going through, I was like, no, I gotta say something. So that's actually a big reason why I came out. Because I'm like, no, no one's gonna do it. Like, this is crazy. This is wild to me. This is like a no-brainer. Like, stop this. Like, this just happened to me. Don't. And then I got canceled and dropped from YouTube. Like, it's like, why does it have to be such a crazy thing, So, but thank you. I appreciate everything that you've done. I wish I had known sooner about these injuries, I would have helped sooner, if that, I
So
think that's
how can we best support your work and support what you're doing as we're closing out our time here this morning?
sure. I guess you could follow me on, well, I don't know, I'm going to go on a different platform now that you told me about. But I have Instagram, which I'm on a lot. I am Jessica Sutter. You can follow me there. Like I said, react19.org. Come join us in the community. Anyone vaccine injured, I love hearing from you. So give me a direct message and I'll get back to you. And I love all of you. Don't give up. You're not alone. And yeah, thank you, Dr. T, for being Dr. T.
Well, thank you so much. And as we close out today, I want to say a special thanks to everyone who joins us here every week. And thank you especially to our podcast members. It's your monthly donation that keeps a lot of our work free and keeps the work that we do possible with my team. So we're really, really grateful for all of that. So this is Monday, and because it is Monday night, we do our show, Tenpenny Files on Your Health, that is posted on our Substack page on Wednesday. Tuesday is Morning Coffee with Dr. T, That goes up on our also on our Substack. We've got a happy hour with Dr. T where we do our online Bible study. We do a deep dive Bible study on Thursday night, and we do critically thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P on Thursday night, which is just a lot of fun and a lot of banter back and forth. So any of those things, you can go to the drtenpenny.com, hover over the podcast tab, and you'll be able to find everything directly right there. So I want to thank you again, Jessica, for coming on with us this morning, and thank you for your wonderful testimony, and thank you for everything that you do. And with that, I want to close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether that is live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. He will never let you down. And everybody else, Jessica, again, thank you. To everyone else, have a great week, everyone. We'll see you here next week, same place, same time. Goodbye, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.